When you see some of these political attacks, that's just because people know this is effective. That is because they're threatened by this model. Some people are threatened politically because the First Lady's been so good at doing this. But that's what that's about. It's not about the actual substance of this. And shouldn't we, as Floridians, put aside political agenda to embrace things that have actually lifted people up, offered them hope, and put them on a pathway to self-sufficiency? You should not wield political agenda to try to kneecap something that is helping people.
Well, as a former logic teacher, I would have a field day with this, much like I did have with the PSC screed that Governor DeSantis came to town to give. You know, whether it's the ad hominems, whether it's the poison language, just, and, you know, every part of this, it's amazing. But we'll give a chance to respond to Alex Andrade, at whom that was directed. And also, you know, raging liberals like me who just are out to get DeSantis for our own political purposes. I just can't even say it out loud. Anyway, Alex Andrade, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, well, so, I mean, why is it that you hate Hope Florida, you hate getting people off of public assistance, and, you know, you've given into the dark side of liberalism and are against every conservative thing the governor stands for? What's wrong with you?
Well, Andrew, there was a revelation yesterday at the counter-scheduled campaign event the Governor DeSantis did at the same time as my committee this week.
Wait, he did it again? No, he did not. He did it again?
In Jacksonville, but I was operating the assumption that Hope Florida was like a program with metrics, but according to Casey DeSantis, Hope Florida is an idea or a philosophy.
I heard that. Don't they have an executive director?
To me, no. He resigned last week.
Oh, okay. Well, they had an executive director.
Yeah. But I thought Hope Florida was a program, and like that's what began my, you know, research into Hope Florida, was how many times Hope Florida was referenced in the state's largest contracts or Medicaid managed care contracts. Apparently, they're only referenced in the state's largest contracts because of an idea and a philosophy that we were going to make all of our managed care companies, I guess, promote or prioritize. But no, as folks who probably listen to this radio show are fully aware of, my main concern has been this funneling of $10 million in Medicaid money to the chief of staff's PAC. So we've obviously been looking into that, and we wrapped up.
For people who haven't been, the former chief of staff for Governor DeSantis is now the Attorney General, James Uthmeyer. He's at the center of all this, in your opinion. Although he's denied any knowledge, any involvement. He's said, my hands are totally clean of this, right?
Yeah, he claims that he had no idea about the settlement, which it's just patently untrue. The state never made an announcement about this settlement. The state never publicized it. Unlike every other state that settled a claim against Centene over this one issue, Florida was the only one that didn't publicize it. And then James was cold calling the people who took this money from Hope Florida before the Hope Florida Foundation board even knew this money existed or was in their bank account. Like, James was the one telling people where the money was before anybody else knew. So I find it hard to believe that a chief of staff, one, didn't sign off on the settlement that AHCA agreed to with Centene. I'm pretty sure you'd want to check with your boss as the AHCA secretary before you sign off on a major statewide settlement. And then he was also telling these people where to go find and ask for the money before anybody else knew that money was there.
Money which then eventually winds up in the hands of a PAC he oversees.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So nothing to see here. No scandal. But you're done because, like, they were supposed to, they were supposed to show up and testify, right? And now, you had a hearing yesterday, but I thought the hearing was today to talk about this. Am I confused somehow?
So the three final people I really wanted to talk to in like my capacity as a subcommittee chair were Jeff Aaron, the attorney for the Hope Florida Foundation, who like helped these two groups get this money wired to them. And then the two leaders of the two dark money groups, Mark Wilson of the Florida Chamber of Commerce, and Amy Rosenhausen of Save Our Society from Drugs. Jeff Aaron, after my schedule came out for this week, immediately emailed me and said, I'm totally transparent. I definitely have nothing to hide, but I'm only available on Wednesday and Friday this week after my meeting was announced for Thursday. And so I kind of just like called his bluff and I said, okay, well, I'll accommodate your busy schedule, Jeff. Let's have a special meeting just for you on Friday. And then I think yesterday, the day before, he backtracked and said, well, no, I can't speak because of attorney-client privilege, which listeners might not understand. When you're the attorney for a public board, there's almost no circumstance where you can cite attorney-client privilege other than like active litigation or impending litigation. So for Jeff to say that, he's either telling me that or he's lying. So from what I can tell, you know, the two executives from the two dark money groups, Mark Wilson from the chamber and Amy Rosenhausen, they didn't show up yesterday morning, I think because they both at this point hired a lawyer and do not want to incriminate themselves. And then Jeff Aaron, obviously, it's the same situation. He does not want to testify under oath about the fact that he helped defraud the charity that he's the lawyer for.
Alex, my wife actually got a text from the PAC that is the Pro DeSantis PAC that used money, I guess, from his leftover presidential campaign fund, telling her, call Michelle Salzman and persuade her to stop being so liberal. And then other people, I did not get one, but other people got texts saying the same thing about you. And so I was curious. I'm sure people contacted you. I was curious what the ratio was of people supporting you in what you're doing or people criticizing you. Like, how effectively did he rally the troops to swamp you with criticism?
It was nearly 100% supportive of what we're doing in the Florida House and supportive of what I'm doing related to Hope Florida. I owe Ron Pack. Okay, our governor named his federal PAC Ron PAC. Just mortifying, but I need to send a thank you letter. I need to send a thank you letter to Ron PAC because all I got all day when those texts went out was, hey, I don't know what's going on, but keep doing what you're doing, because obviously, like, he's freaking out. You know, like, you know, people who are aware of the Hope Florida stuff were like, do not let him intimidate you. Don't blame. Keep up the good work. And I guess I got to send a fruit basket or something to Ron Pack because all I got was encouragement.
That's amazing. And I heard from Michelle that it was similar from her as well. So the follow-up to this now is, because you last Friday on this show, I thought very vividly claimed that James Uthmeyer has probably committed wire fraud and money laundering. And he, I think, is now threatening you, or maybe someone else, I forget who said, but threatening you with legal action for defamation and a complaint towards the bar that you have exceeded your legal authority, violated your legal obligation as an attorney. I don't hear you quivering in your boots over this, but maybe you can respond to those, I don't know, threats?
Yeah. Well, one, I'm very familiar with the defamation law.
I would say so, yes.
Handle defamation cases in my day job.
You've run legislation on reforming the defamation law, so I think you do know it. Yeah, all right.
Truth is always an absolute defense to a defamation claim, and I would not have said anything that I've been saying if I didn't know the truth, if I didn't have documents or circumstances that fully supported what I'm saying. And also, additionally, it is kind of mortifying that our attorney general does not understand what a legislative privilege is. There's this common law, you know, almost absolute privilege that says in the due course of legislative activities, or it would be the same for city council members or county commissioners when they're engaging in their official activities, there's almost an absolute privilege against lawsuits like defamation. You know, for the same reason we have the SLAPP Act about public discourse, but it's like an absolute privilege about officials in their official capacity. So our attorney general really needs to start looking into like what the law says on some of this stuff, because it just gets more and more mortifying every time he, you know, says something kind of silly.
So he may have committed two crimes, and in the response to the crimes, he's creating a claim about defamation that shows he doesn't understand that law either. Okay. All right. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Let's switch gears a little bit because I'm sure we're not done with all this. But, you know, I mean, you are done because you couldn't finish an investigation without any more testimony. And you've now basically said, I've done what I can do. This is a matter for who? The feds, Department of Justice, I presume, is who's involved in this now. You've talked to them, right?
Yeah, I've talked to law enforcement. Law enforcement's following up with me. So it's bigger than a subcommittee. The House might not be done. I mean, Danny Perez, the speaker yesterday, said we're not done. And, you know, we still expect the agencies to produce the documents they've not yet produced. And based on what those documents say, we'll do something. It'll just be outside of my subcommittee. Like, my subcommittee was not the right venue to go beyond this point. It just wasn't. Like, I'm just the guy asking for facts to make policy decisions. That's literally the purpose of committee meetings. That is done. So any further action does have to be handled by somebody else. Law enforcement, I'm sure, will be continuing to research and look into it and investigate because this is not going away.
I don't know why everybody's always coming after your law license, Alex. It just seems so wrong. and also over the...
Just
produce the documents, you know? It's not hard. All right, I'm sorry. I talked over you. What did you say?
I said I'm shaking, petrified, terrified, mortified.
Super shook, I can tell. Before we let you go, I did want to ask you, the session is going to extend at least for a couple of days because the budget's not ready?
That's what it looks like. I get to go home this weekend.
Okay.
Meaning we're not negotiating this weekend.
Oh, okay. So we're not even that close.
No, we still haven't resolved our allocations item, which I talked to you last week. The big holdup is our tax package.
Okay.
And just how much in the form of taxes we want to cut. The Senate wants to cut less than we do, and the House is still very bullish on cutting as many taxes as possible.
Oh, we talked with Darian Schaefer, and of course, I know you know the news. People here have been very worried about the TDT bill, the TDC bill, opening up of TDT funds for almost any purpose under the sun, eliminating TDCs, and putting an 8-year sunset on so people have to vote to. Is that bill really going to happen? It seems devastating for our area if it comes to pass, or at least it could be. You're the legislator. What's happening here?
I think that's getting rolled up in the allocations discussion too. I don't know what the Senate is saying about it. So from what I can tell, I think that that's our position. And right now it depends on how allocation negotiations go to see exactly where that lands. We have fights over TDT money every single year. We have fights over Visit Florida every single year. And the end result is always, agreeable to most everybody and most every stakeholder. So, while I don't know, because I'm not a part of those specific discussions on that specific policy this year, I would have been when I was the TED chair the past 2 years, but now because of, my role in the healthcare budget, I'm not part of those conversations. And so I wish I had better information. But I do know it's part of the negotiation process right now.
Okay. And I know in years past, obviously, every year we have conversations, like you said, about Visit Florida and funding at the state level. But man, I'll tell you, our local folks are freaking out over the potential impacts of this bill, and which, I'm sure you're aware of. Alex Andrade, state representative for District 2. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you're doing. I'll add my voice to the keep going. Do what you can at this point. But as always, good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.